Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want to mourn the old tree and tell them that we love them.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest, and I felt outraged.
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It may not be the abomination of desolation, but wow, it's pretty close. This is Wretched Radio. You're scratching your head and you're wondering, Friel, about which abomination are you talking about? Because there are plenty of them these days in Western civilization, which certainly has experienced a little bit of shift in attitude toward the risen Jesus Christ, once celebrated, once considered an absolute historical event with eternal implications, is now mocked. And I'm not talking just about the President of the United States. I'm talking about so many churches that couldn't find the gospel on Easter Sunday if their lives depended on it. And oh, by the way, they actually do. How many churches biffed it on Sunday morning? You don't have to look very far and wide. And even though Jesus got a bit of a hat tip at some of these places, what you're about to hear is a pretty reasonable example of a lot of churches on Easter Sunday.
I want to use as a subject for this sermon today, something in between.
I'm sorry, what's this sermon about? Regarding Jesus Christ rising from the dead? The women coming to the tomb and discovering he's not here?
Something in between.
Okay, tell
me about it. Would you look at your neighbor real quick and say, I'm something in between.
I'm something in between.
Look at your other neighbor.
Okay.
The one you rejected, scorned, and bypassed the first time. Say, I'm something in between.
I'm something in between.
And you may be seated.
Okay, tell me, what are you going to teach us about today, Pastor Furtick?
Something in between.
Okay, what does that mean exactly?
I was so excited to preach this, man. I know I was excited because I was having weird dreams. Oh. 3 a.m, 4 a.m. About 4 I woke up, I was dreaming about Clemson.
See? Oh, Easter, where art thou? Oh, ecclesiology, have you been forgotten? Now, Stephen Furtick should know better. He, of course, graduated from Southern Seminary. He was not taught this foolishness. Dressed up like a prosperity preacher, because that's his company as of late. He has to use something that is clever, pulled out of the text. It's inferred sort of a little bit in there, and then you make it all about the people who darkened your doorstep, probably because of an egg drop, in order to have them be the center of attention. Not only is this to clearly miss the point of Easter, this ecclesiology drives me bonkers. This could be a particular pet peeve of mine. Nevertheless, at Alpharetta Bible Church, where we had a lovely Easter Sunday, once the service starts, chit-chat is done.
I reckon I fell asleep when they were losing their game. They made it to the Elite Eight, but then they lost, so I think that was in my subconscious, and so was the excitement of like Easter and anything is possible. So in my dream, listen to this.
I can't wait to not hear this. This is a failure to understand what church is all about. This sort of chit-chatty, hey, I'm going to show you how real I am, and aren't we just normal folks here, is a failure to recognize for whom we do church. We do it for the risen Lamb. We are regulated by what he desires. And it ain't talking about the Final Four or the Big Eight or whatever he's on.
I was at Clemson as a student, as a 44-year-old man.
And I was who's really pumped.
I was going to football practice to see if I could walk on and play. That's how excited I was. I didn't even play Little League football. I've never played football in my life.
All righty then. He's wasting time. And he's minimizing what church is supposed to be. And you could argue with this statement, especially on Easter Sunday, which is considered our high holy day. that Jesus Christ is risen indeed. And how many churches gave the people who came anything to consider and actually get ready for this, make a decision about? You say, Friel, we don't believe in decisional regeneration. I agree with you. A decision does not get you saved. That is a fact. God saves, he regenerates, you repent, you put your trust in Jesus Christ. But that does not mean a decision isn't required, because a church on Easter Sunday, if they are going to consider the number of unsaved guests who are attending, and quite honestly, if you're a church who doesn't consider that, I got no problem with you. The people, and I addressed unbelievers in our worship service on Sunday, because there's going to be some that are not saved. But if a church says, no, we don't address unbelievers, because church isn't for unbelievers, it's for believers. I'd have a hard time arguing with you about that. Nevertheless, if you are going to address unbelievers on Easter Sunday, are they going to be confronted with the reality that Christ is risen? How? Indeed, that the people of God would leave church on Sunday morning and they would affirm, yes, I am going to stake my life on this. And the unbelievers who sit there then are confronted with a decision. You give them gospel truth. I didn't say apologetics. I didn't say textual criticism. I didn't say archaeological evidence. You preach Christ and him crucified, and then they are confronted with rendering a verdict not on God. We humans, we don't get to play judge and jury when it comes to determining if God's word is true. It is, and it proves itself. And the people who sit there then must make a decision. Am I going to reject this? Am I going to be a stony heart hearer? Or am I going to respond to the good news that Jesus Christ died for sinners? You think they got that at this show?
That's how excited I have been to be with you. I was dreaming about Dabo and... of course, that has everything to do with Matthew 28.
No, it doesn't. What a shame. What a tragedy. I guess it could be worse. You could be up in Calgary where the church, a Unitarian church, they decided to merge a drag show with Easter Sunday. You see, because we're going to drag people to church. See what we're going to drag them to churches. What we're going to do to show solidarity with the LGBTQ community, because it overlaps with International Transgender Day. And so it is, the President of the United States decided, I'm going to release a proclamation that announces that America, and at least the Biden White House, is in solidarity, honoring the extraordinary courage and contributions of transgender Americans to reaffirm our nation's commitment to forming a more perfect union where all people are created equal. Created? Did we want to really use that one? Must have gotten through the filter somehow. And treated equally throughout their lives. I'm proud. Interesting word. That my administration has stood for justice from the start to ensure the LGBTQ, I don't think that's the right, for it's like S2-74YX LGBTQ ZZIP0, which sounds more like an IRS form, nevertheless, that they can live openly in safety with dignity and respect. I'm proud to have appointed transgender leaders. I'm proud to have signed the Respect for Marriage Act into law. Transgender Americans are part of the fabric of our nation, serving our communities, heralding them as, of course, being the most amazing citizens on the planet. And we're working to stop the bullying and harassment. Right now, by the way, I'm bullying and harassing transgender people. I am, with my words, I am bullying and harassing, because I think that the president is an abomination of desolation. Got to tell you something. This proclamation, if you've never understood imprecatory prayers until now, is it starting to make a little more sense when you've got the highest leader in the land, whether aware of it or not, even you've got the highest office in the land making a proclamation like this? You're understood. You belong. You are America. And my entire administration We have your back. Therefore, I, Roman Catholic Joseph R. Biden Jr., President of the United States, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution. Wonder if they had to Google that. Watch a YouTube video. Proclaim Easter Sunday as Transgender Day of Visibility. That's an abomination. And that is something that I think should perhaps help all of us understand where we are at in this country. By the way, his press secretary doing what they do, totally gaslighting. You see, the problem is you people. You hate transgender people. That's why you're criticizing Joe Biden, because you just hate people. Well, the assumption there, of course, is that we do hate anybody. And second of all, that transgender and LGBT is normal and should be accepted. This is an abomination. And we should understand now, we are no longer in a neutral Western civilization. And the question then becomes, how are we going to respond to this? What are we going to do about this? Maybe, just maybe, it is time to get back to doing what we've always been commanded to do. Make disciples. Joe Biden got saved. This nonsense wouldn't happen. This is Wretched Radio.
Well, in a world that is undeniably cluttered with quick fixes and superficial solutions, now comes a journey into the heart of real change. I'm talking about Transformed Season 3. It's finally here, and we're inviting you into the lives of individuals that are facing the giants of fear and guilt and grief. But hey, there's a twist. These aren't your typical battles. These battles have been fought with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. You'll witness loneliness and overeating and relational tension met with grace, truth, and love that can only come from the one who knows us the best. This season's not just about watching others. It's about seeing yourself and your struggles and the path to true transformation through biblical counseling. We'll together dive deep into the heart of what it means to be transformed. Transformed Season 3 can be found right now at wretched.org/transformed3.
Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. They get Bible memorization. Remember, we used to force our kids to do that, but now that we're oppressors, we don't want to be toxic and make our kids memorize Bible verses when it's about a gazillion times easier than when you get old. And they worship the Lord, they pray together, and they get loved on. Tomorrow Clubs, I'm telling you, record-breaking. The images are so encouraging, so cool, and I would encourage you to consider being a Tomorrow Club partner. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, we're just out here every day trying to spread the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we can't do it alone. We produce the content. We need you to listen to the content. And so we are thankful and grateful for you listening to all of the things that we're able to produce. But now we're asking you to prayerfully consider taking the next step and becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. See, reaching millions of lost souls with the life-changing gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, no small task. Like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16, be on the alert, stand firm, be strong. We've got to stand firm, and we've got to stand firm together, sharing the truth, and that's where you come in. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not only keeping the lights on around here, but you're also equipping us to create more compelling, efficient, and theologically sound content. Just visit wretched.org/donate or text the word wretched to the number 44321. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Important dates in Christian history. 325 AD. The Council of Nicaea was called to address debates perplexing the church, primarily concerning the nature of Jesus. The Nicene Creed was drafted and is still one of the standards of orthodoxy among Christians.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Are you able to say indeed? This is Wretched Radio. It is a customary greeting in Christendom for one believer to say to another, he is risen. The antiphonal response, he is risen. Indeed, that singular word was the focus of the service that we held at Alpharetta Bible Church on Resurrection Sunday to encourage Christians. Hey, you can stake your eternity on the risen Jesus Christ. It is so crucial that we understand the importance of the resurrection. I have to confess, I'm guilty of it myself when it comes to evangelism, but I shouldn't be neglecting the resurrection any more than the death and burial of Jesus Christ. On Good Friday, the payment for our sins was made when Jesus died on behalf of sinners. But it was Sunday morning, God said, here's the receipt, payment accepted, my son has risen. Indeed, and if Jesus Christ is not continuing his incarnation, then our entire eternity just goes right down the tubes. He had to rise from the dead. He had to ascend into heaven. He had to. You say, why so emphatic about this? Well, because Jesus was emphatic about it. He's the one who started this by telling the disciples, the Messiah, I must suffer under the hands of wicked men, die, and rise again. I believe that's Matthew 16. He started telling them these things, that this is what is going to happen. It has to happen. And Paul picked up on that. And that is precisely what he preached constantly. Christ, him crucified. He preached that the Messiah had to suffer, to die, and rise again. And then in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, on the third day, and he did this all from the Old Testament. Isn't that a kooky idea? Using the left side of the Bible to build a foundation for the right side of the book. Needless to say, Paul didn't unhitch the Old Testament. Instead, he leaned on it entirely. He didn't reason with people. He didn't logic with people. He didn't drop Easter eggs from a helicopter, which, when really put into comparison with using reason and logic, it becomes even more bizarre, because reason and logic is not the way to get anybody saved. We are under a delusion when we think if perhaps that person would just begin to have a better cognitive process, to think rightly, then of course he'd understand all of the evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1 or 2, spiritual things are spiritually discerned. You got to be saved, then you get it. Now you can understand the facts. Christopher Hitchens probably understood the facts, but you can't get it because spiritual things are spiritually discerned. God saves, then he fixes thinking, which is why it has to be the word, the word, the word, the word that we preach every single opportunity that we get. Nothing but Christ and him crucified. And how many churches whiffed this Sunday? How many churches failed to proclaim? That's the way Paul preached, by the way, that Paul proclaimed. The text was Acts 17, 1 through 4, that he dialegomide with people. He spoke forcefully to people. He wasn't sharing. He was proclaiming. He was telling them, this is the way it is. The Messiah had to suffer, die, and rise again, in the hope that everybody who left our church on Sunday morning would say, he is risen indeed. And we do not need to look outside of the Bible to be persuaded of that. You can look right inside of its pages and discover, yep, that's a supernatural book. There's no way that human beings could have concocted this. There's no way that all of these prophecies could have been fulfilled. You say, what prophecies are we talking about? Well, I'm so glad you asked, because I happen to have my sermon notes right here. How convenient is that? Genesis 3:15 said he'd be born of a woman. Check, according to Matthew 1:20. Micah 5:2 said he'd be born in Bethlehem. Matthew 2:1, yep, bingo, born in Bethlehem, the city of David. Oh, because he was, by the way, to be of the lineage of David. Check. 2 Samuel 7, there's going to be one who sits on the throne of David forever. And in Matthew 1, the genealogy, it starts with Abraham. Oh, wait, by the way, I'm so sorry. He was going to be a descendant of Abraham, too. How coincidental is that? And from the lineage of David, that was prophesied 1,400 years before the birth of the Savior. That was codified. That was written down, the promise to Abraham, about 2,200 BC. Now, wait a second. There's an earlier promise. Sorry, Genesis 3:15, that there would be a head crusher. His heel's going to get bruised, but there'd be a head crusher. Check, check, check. You can say indeed he is risen because the Bible predicted everything about Jesus and he fulfilled everything. That's just not humanly possible. You just can't do that. That he would be a descendant of Jacob? Yep, check. That he'd be from the tribe of Judah? Check. That he'd be called Emmanuel, Matthew 1:23. Oh, how's about that he'd spend a season in Egypt? That's fulfilled in Matthew 2. Why did Jesus have to go to Egypt? Because Israel was a picture of Egypt. If you recall, in the book of Hosea, which most of us probably haven't visited in a bit, Hosea equates Israel with the Messiah. And what does he say about Israel? That God was going to strike them. In other words, God was going to kill them, if you will, by putting them into exile. Second day, revive them. Third day, resurrect them. That was a prophecy about Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what happened. And that is why you and I should be able to say he is risen indeed. How's about Jeremiah 31? A massacre of children would happen at the Messiah's birthplace. That would be the slaughter of the innocents in Matthew 2:16. That he'd be called a Nazarene in Isaiah 11:1. What do you know? He grew up in Nazareth. Isaiah 40, a messenger would prepare the way for the Messiah. Paging John the Baptist, anybody? He would be rejected by his own people, check. He would be a prophet, he'd be a priest, he'd be a king. Check, check, check. How's about coming up to crucifixion week then? Psalm 41:9, that he would be betrayed. Matthew 26, we meet that betrayer. Zechariah 11:12, his cost, the money would for betrayal would be used to buy a potter's field. That's Matthew 27:9-10. Psalm 35:11, that the Messiah would be falsely accused and stand silent before his accusers. Isaiah 50, he would be spat upon and struck. Isaiah 53:12, he would be crucified with criminals. Psalm 69, he would be given vinegar to drink. Psalm 22, his hands and feet would be pierced. He would be mocked and ridiculed. Check, 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 check. Soldiers would gamble for his garments. How's about Psalm 34:20? His bones would not be broken, and they weren't. Psalm 109, he would pray for his enemies. Do you remember? Forgive them, for they know not what. Check. Zechariah 12:10. Soldiers would pierce his side. Isaiah 53:9, he would be buried with the rich. Psalm 49:15, he would resurrect from the dead. Psalm 24:7 through 10, he would also ascend into heaven. That is definitive proof. And anybody who attended a church service in one way, shape, or form should have been confronted with the overwhelming reality that you're foolish to not say that he is risen indeed. It is utter foolishness, which is a great reminder that people who did hear a very powerful Easter message, and by the way, thank you for sending those to me. I try to listen to them. Boy, there was some very fine Easter preaching. Well done to a lot of pastors. Nevertheless, they're going to walk out the door unregenerated. Why? Because quite honestly, to a point, no, not to undermine everything that I've just said for the last 10 minutes, our preaching doesn't get anybody saved. The Holy Spirit saves through the preaching of the Word. He does the saving. We're to be faithful to that preaching. Faith comes from hearing, hearing from the Word of God. We have a more sure word than miracles. We preach it in season and out of season. It is the Word. How did Timothy get saved? Timothy got saved from knowing the scriptures from his youth. That would be the Old Testament. What saves people? God saves through the proclamation of his word. He does the regenerating work. And the reality is that people reject Jesus not because of information. They have plenty of information. They heard a great sermon, all the information that they need. So what's the problem? It's not the intellect. It's the will. It's always the will. And that is the thing that God and God alone can bend and break and then draw an individual to himself. Got a question for you, dear Christian. If I said he is risen, would you shout, indeed? I hope so. This is Wretched.